taking time to get to know God better.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This broadcast program is coming to you from Grace Christian Assembly in the East Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. On his first missionary journey, the Apostle Paul visited ancient Athens, then the most modern city in the world. Yet, the Apostle discovered that though the city was full of temples of worship, the Athenians were totally ignorant of the one God who mattered. Listen with us as Pastor Brian Grant uses the text of Acts 17 to uncover three ways in which our God, the God of the Bible, is different from any other supposed or imagined God. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Our Incomparable God.
A little boy and his dad went shopping for a birthday card for his mom. And after going through all the aisles that had cards for moms, his dad picked up a card that said, "To the world's greatest mom." You've been there. The little boy frowned, for he noticed the aisle was full of cards with those exact words, "To the world's greatest mom." So he asked his dad, "Dad, if mom is the world's greatest mom, why are there so many cards saying to the world's greatest mom?" Dad replied, "Well, I guess they're all claiming the same thing." The little boy thought for a moment and then he said, "Dad, if every mom is the greatest mom, then nobody's really the greatest." And you know, we're living in a world where every product is the best, where every restaurant serves the world's best burger. Have you seen that? And where every politician promises that they're the answer. But when the Bible speaks about God, it isn't using marketing language. It isn't trying to make a sales pitch. And it's not saying that God is better than other options. It's declaring something far more significant, for it's declaring that God has no equal, that God has no rival. Am I right about it? God has no equal, God has no rival, and that God is in a category all by himself. Amen. So make sure you stay focused today. We're going to discuss a theme we don't often do. I want to speak to you this morning on the theme, our incomparable God. Amen. Our incomparable God. What a mighty God we serve. He is the greatest and he is the only one. Amen. Paul was on his second missionary journey and had been traveling in Greece. But he had received such fierce opposition from Jews in Thessaloniki, he had moved on to the Greek city of Berea. You can read this earlier in Acts chapter 17. Things were going great in Berea, and many Jews were getting saved. But when the Jews in Thessaloniki heard that Jews were turning to Christ in large numbers, they decided to visit Berea to stir up the crowd against Paul. The Jews were going to stop this, what they regarded as nonsense, that Jews were turning to Jesus in droves. My friend, the gospel works. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation for Gentiles and also for Jews. Amen. I hope you're preaching. I hope you're proclaiming this gospel, because it is still the gospel that works, and you will never run into anyone for whom this gospel is not relevant and for whom this gospel does not have power to save. Amen. The gospel had totally transformed Paul's life. For about 15 years earlier, he was the one who was going around arresting and beating up Jews who were turning to Christ. You remember that story that Paul was going around beating up Jews and arresting them? And you remember that he was one of the ringleaders of the group who had stoned Stephen to death. He was one of the ringleaders there. The Bible took time to tell you that Paul was right there agreeing to Stephen's death. Who would believe that same Paul, the one who was beating up Christians, would be the one that becomes so devoted to Christ that he'd be willing to suffer and die for Christ? Oh, that ought to tell us something, amen? That ought to tell us something, because some of us have some friends who seem so hard-nosed and tough and seem to have no interest in the gospel. And every time you see them, they chase you away and they laugh at you, amen? But listen, there's never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can't bring them home, amen? So, my brothers and sisters, whether you're here or whether you're watching the live stream, let's never give up on our unsaved friends and family members. Amen. Because the gospel still works. Amen. God has not lost any of his power. This gospel still works. Young people, share it with your friends. You say, oh, they're so young. Oh, they're into all sorts of other things. This gospel still works. Amen. The Jews in Berea who had become Christians realized that the Jews from Thessalonica were determined to kill Paul. So they sent him away by sea. And in Acts 17, Paul arrived in Athens. How many of you have been to Athens? Not too many of us have been to Athens. If you get a chance, it's really a city very worthwhile seeing. Although sometimes they're a little bit, I leave that alone. Athens was and still is very impressive, and at that time was one of the most renowned cities in the entire world, for it was the cradle of Western philosophy and democracy and home to the leading schools of thought. But as Paul walked the city, he was surprised at how many gods they were worshiping. For there were, get this, how many gods do you think they were worshiping? A few hundred? They were worshiping tens of thousands of gods. Tens of thousands of gods. There were so many gods. One of the ancient historians wrote that it was, listen to this, they had so many gods. One of the ancient historians wrote that it was easier to find a god in Athens than to find a man. The Athenians had many gods, but they had rejected the one and only God who sent Jesus to die for us. What an incredible work Satan himself is doing to confound and confuse people, and it's still going on now. It was happening during the days of the Apostle Paul, and it's still going on now. But don't give up on your friends, amen? God is still at work. The God who was going to do a revolution then wants to do a revolution now if we stay committed. The Apostle Paul did not give up. He stayed committed because he knew, listen, that God can do the impossible. Amen? The Athenians had many gods, as I said. But only one God exists. Do you know Jesus, by the way? You may be here. You're watching. You're listening. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? I want to talk a little bit about who our God is as we talk about the incomparable God. Amen? Let's look a little. Write this down first. Take some notes with me today, because we don't always go here. So if you're not even a note taker, take some notes, because it will help you to, some of this will help you to cause the message to stick. God is imminent. I didn't say God is imminent. God is imminent. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. I'll explain a little bit for you what it does it mean that God is imminent. Verse 22 reads us this way. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men. From how many types of blood? Do you really mean that we're all from the same kit and kindle? So the white folks and black folks and yellow folks all are... Okay, let me go on. Let me not get sidetracked. All those who may be viewing and think you are special because of your color, just remember what it says. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Many people think that God is so far away, it's impossible to have a personal relationship with him. But add this to your notes, they are wrong, because God's immanence means that God is near and is always present within his creation. God is immanent. There is no place where God is not. Amen? Come on now, stay with me. There is no place where God is not, for he's always present in his creation. He's there in times of great joy, but he's also there in our times of deepest disappointment and sadness. He's there in the good times, but he's also there in the very sad and tough times. And perhaps right now you're experiencing a sad and a tough time. I want you to know God is right there. Let me put Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24 on the screen in the New Living Translation. And here's how it reads. Here's what God says. Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not, what does it say? Read it with me. Am I not what? Everywhere in all the heavens and the earth, says the Lord. Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth? At the same time, God is immanent. Sometimes our relatives, our friends are missing when we need them, but our God is always there. Aren't you glad about that? He's always there. He's always present. And it gets even better than that. For God is not only present,
He cares deeply about even our smallest concerns. Amen. He's present and he cares. You know, Luke's Gospel chapter 12, verse 6. We read this very interesting verse in Luke chapter 12, verse 6. You can read it on your own. But here's what the scripture says. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And here's what it says. So what is it saying about a sparrow? A sparrow is what? Somewhat insignificant, correct? That's the point it's making. 5 sparrows are sold for 2 pennies. But I love what it says following. And not one of them is forgotten before God. Just imagine that. 5 sparrows, 2 pennies. And not one of them is forgotten by our immanent God. Amen. My Christian friend, what you are dealing with today, whatever it is you are dealing with, and somebody listening this morning, whether you're here or somewhere else, there is someone who is facing some challenge. Amen. But I want you to know that if my God doesn't forget an itty-bitty sparrow that weighs only about an ounce, I looked it up to see how much does this sparrow weigh. A sparrow only weighs an ounce. And God cares about that sparrow that doesn't weigh an ounce. I won't tell you my weight, but I weigh more than an ounce. Rest assured, my friend, my God won't forget you. Amen. No matter what you're going through, our immanent God, the one who sees and the one who cares, he's interested in your drama. I'm so glad I know him personally. Come on, do you know him personally? Is he your God? Is he your Savior? Is he your friend? Do you know him? God is imminent. But God is not only imminent. Here's the second thing I want you to write. God is transcendent. God is transcendent. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 and 25. It says here, verse 24, then Paul stood. No, that's not 24. 24 is down here. God who made the world and everything in it, since he's Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life and breath to all things. Add this to your notes. God is wholly independent from. Are you writing? God is wholly independent from and superior to the created universe. He exists beyond the limitations of time, beyond the limitations of space and the physical world, and has supreme authority and majesty over all creation. I hope you'll write this down and go home and reflect on some of this. We don't always go here, but it is important that we grasp what it means. We need to understand a little bit more of our God. And the Bible is teaching us that God is transcendent. He's wholly independent from and superior to the universe. He exists beyond the limitations of time, space, the physical world, and he has supreme authority and majesty over all creation. We serve an incomparable God. There's absolutely no one else like him. Amen. God is not bound by the constraints that govern the material universe. And the problem with scientists and some of these big time thinkers, they think of God and think of God in our terms, but not, God is not bound by any of the constraints of nature. He is the ultimate source of existence and power. So add this to your notes. God's transcendence implies that he is sovereign and that he exists outside of time. That the issue of time is a constraint to help us. But God exists outside of time and space and is above and beyond all that is created. Go home and chew on some of this. It will blow your mind. Our problem is we try to understand God in our terms. But God is transcendent. Because of his transcendence, God is way beyond what our finite minds can grasp. Are you with me this morning? God is transcendent, and because he's transcendent, he's way beyond what your finite mind can grasp. Neither by an act of our will, nor by our own reasoning, can we understand God or experience him personally. But the transcendent, unknowable God. Are you getting me this? Are you getting what the Lord is saying this morning? God is unknowable. You cannot know him. The only way you can know him is that he has chosen to reveal himself to us. Are you getting it? The only way we can know such a transcendent God is because he has chosen to reveal himself to us in the person of his Son. And little by little, every day, we're getting to know him better. Oh, I hope you're making time. Come on, young man. Are you making time to get to know God better? You're not doing God no favors when you decide to take up your Bible and read it, when you decide to spend your some time on your knees before this transcendent God. God is not some little. I may go to my Jamaican, so let me leave it off. In Jamaica, we'd say, my dad would say, he's not some little pettifogging God. Pettifogging is a word we made up, I guess, in Jamaica to describe something that is so insignificant. I don't know where they got the word from. I don't know if it's a real word. You can look it up when you go home and see if you find it. If you find it, you can come and tell me. But God is not a little pettifogging God. He is the transcendent God who has chosen to reveal himself. Are you glad he has revealed himself to you?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.